Good afternoon, I'm Sarah Solars, and today I'll be sharing some aspects with you of Minnesota's approach to implementing the MMGs. So a little bit of background to kind of set the stage on where we were when we embarked on this journey. So Minnesota was fortunate enough to be participating as a pilot state for both hepatitis and Gen V2 MMGs. And when we started, the resources that we had available to us was MAVEN as our integrated disease surveillance system. In Minnesota, we have one instance of MAVEN to support all of our infectious disease, as well as our blood lead surveillance group and several of our other community and family health programs who use it. So it's a slightly different setup than some of the other MAVEN states that you heard from earlier. We also had Rhapsody as an integration engine. We had dedicated IT staff within our department to support MAVEN, as well as messaging staff, DBAs, and application hosting staff that were familiar with MAVEN. Our program subject matter experts, and then FinMS for secure data transport, as well as a connection to the Ames Hub. So in Minnesota, some of our goals when we kind of started approaching our implementation of the MMGs was we wanted to use our existing resources, inclusive of software, hardware, and staff. As we all know, we deal with limited budgets, and so it was important for us to make sure that we utilized what we had in-house as much as possible. In our design, we also kind of acknowledged that it was really important for us to try and use our existing surveillance data as it was currently collected as possible without trying to do a bunch of redesign in order to accommodate for the MMGs. And again, this kind of gets back to the fact that we have one instance shared across all disease programs, and we also needed to kind of manage the transition to the message mapping guides with our programs that were also still reporting via NETS. Our NETS extracts come out of our MAVEN software as well. And so because we have this shared instance and sort of core data elements across everybody, we're trying to develop something that was as seamless to our end users as possible. And then also, because we were a pilot, we were fortunate enough to be paired with a team from APHL for technical assistance. And so we really wanted to leverage that team and those experts as much as possible while we were going through this. And they were able to deliver for us a Rhapsody route that handled the data translation, transformation, and some additional validation within it. We worked with their vocabulary specialists when we were doing our mappings and to figure out what we needed to add to our systems, answer any questions. They sat down and really helped us think through the overall architecture and design of how we were going to get data from our MAVEN system to CDC, project management, and many, many other things that kind of helped us along the way to get through this process. So kind of a high-level overview of the approach that we used is that we used MAVEN's native functionality for normalized tables to create our data sets every evening based on updated data that our program staff had entered after they had sort of flagged it to, you know, be ready to be notified to send on to CDC. We also created a data warehouse to store this data set, and I'll get into why we did that a little bit later. We decided to use Rhapsody to do all of our data translation and transformation. Now, even though the normalized tables have some functionality for that, we decided to do all of it in Rhapsody just so that we only had one place where we were doing all of this, so that if things came up during the processing and we had issues, our IT staff only needed to look and investigate in Rhapsody rather than trying to look in multiple places. And then we continued to use FinMS for our secure transport of this data, and our FinMS connected with the Ames Hub, which then pushed the data along to CDC to MVPS. So why did we use a separate data warehouse for all of this? There are many reasons, but a few that I'll highlight are sort of the need for us to track this data over time. So for those of you who use Maven, you know that the denormalized tables are really sort of a snapshot in time and not really able to kind of track the history, especially since we were creating updated tables every evening. So when we set it up, our data warehouse not only contains the case data and any updates that program staff are making to that data, but it also stores a message history table. And from that, we can discern whether the outbound message is a new, an update, or a delete notification to CDC. And so that was really important for us to be able to maintain. In addition, we were also able to leverage our DBA team to create and run several scripts on the data while it was in the data warehouse to implement some additional rules and additional data manipulation, again, with one of our ultimate goals of all of this being seamless to our end users. And so one of the big things that came into play there was our ability to handle duplicates if a program staff had inadvertently, you know, sent a notification and a subsequent lab came in for that person, they sent another notification and then merged the two events together. One of them no longer existed in our system, and so we had to generate a way to create a deletion message for an event that was no longer in the system. And we were able to do that through our data warehouse. And it also allowed us to kind of put holds in place along the process while we were developing it, so that if we didn't want data to pass through to Rhapsody or ultimately go on through to MVPS, we had a location where we could kind of break those connector points and kind of maintain the data within our jurisdiction while we were working on some things. So I'll kind of walk through our overall design document for our architecture. So we have data coming into Maven either electronically or manual data entry. Our program staff go through and evaluate whether or not it is eligible to be sent to CDC, and they'll set various fields in the system so that it is flagged to be picked up by the denormalized table. And part of that process is also looking at was that event flagged, and then also had it been modified or updated since the last time we had sent it. And that's sort of our data set that then gets pulled into those denormalized tables every evening. From there, we then push that data on to our data warehouse. And then from there, Rhapsody actually interacts with the data warehouse data, where again, we're doing all that data translation, transformation, and some validation rules as well. That gets packaged up into an HL7 message that kind of corresponds to the MMG specs. And then our FinMS picks it up and sends it on to Ames, which then delivers it to MVPS at CDC. So our overall outcomes with this project is that we were able to successfully create MMG messages for both hepatitis and Gen V2 as part of this process. And actually, earlier this year, just a couple months ago, Minnesota actually successfully onboarded to MVS production, which was a wonderful accomplishment. And so we were actually able to use these MMGs to reconcile our 2016 data. So some lessons learned when we went through this process. One thing I would say, especially as you're going through the overall design, is to be inclusive as you can with your planning team. For us, I think when on the onset of this, I don't think any of us ever thought of creating a data warehouse. So the thought of having a DBA on the team probably never crossed our minds, but fortunately, we had one who was assigned to Maven, and he came along with us for the ride, and that ended up being really beneficial as we were going through this early development. I think it's also really important as you kind of start the process to really identify what are your business priorities and rules, and then make sure that they're applied in that design. And then just like any other project, you know, it really required dedicated staff and staff time so that they were able to continue to move things along. We didn't have to spend time constantly bringing people up to speed. And in some sense, you know, we almost had to lock people in rooms together until we could figure out what we were doing and why. And so having that dedicated staff and time was really important. And the last thing I'll mention here is that the APHL TA team was extremely valuable. I can't say enough good things about that team. I think without them in Minnesota, we might still be arguing, discussing what our best method of approaching this would be. So in addition to, you know, delivering the Rhapsody route and many other things, they were a great group of experts to kind of bounce ideas off on and help us through this process. So there are many, many people who kind of helped us accomplish this work. So I'd like to thank my fellow colleagues at MDH, both our program subject matter experts and my IT folks, as well as the CDC and NMI team, especially those who helped us through the onboarding process. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, that TA team from APHL. So I thank you for your time, and I will hand it back over to our moderator.